We continue with the Tanya. We're on Perek Tes in the Chassidus Mefores, Volume 2, page Chaf Ches now, the third section of the ninth chapter. We're going to discuss exactly how the godly soul wants to take over the entire body. What's the mechanics of that? And that's why it's called, the topic is called Kochas HaNefesh HaLokis HaMemalim Es Evri HaGuf BePratios, the power of the godly soul that fills the body parts in detail. That's what he's going to discuss. Skip the brackets, get right into the bold words. Dahainu, which means what? That it wants total control. Well, starting with Plas Mochin Shibarosh Yumumol Memulaim Mechachma Bina Dashiba Nefesh Halokis, that the three parts of the head, the three compartments of the head, will be filled with Chochma, Bina, and Das of the godly soul. Says the Chassidim verse, Barosh, in the head, Yeshlosha Chalon, there's three compartments that are called Moach HaChochma, the brain of wisdom, Moach HaBina, the brain of understanding, and Moach HaDas, the brain of Das. Cheder Nifrit L'chol Echad Mishlosha Kochas HaSeichel, it's a different compartment with each one of these three parts. And what's the will of the godly soul? That those three compartments should only be filled with godly wisdom, understanding, and das. That's the only thing that should be in your brain. Shehi Chachmas explains, continues the Tanya. Shechachmas Hashem ubinaso, that's the wisdom of Hashem and the understanding of it. Lisbonin begadlus asher adin chegav himself, to reflect deeply about the greatness of Hashem beyond limits. It's a very deep contemplation. Explains the Chassidus Mefores. Inyan shel koach hachachma hu hakoach lahaskel eis hadavar. The power of chachma is the power to understand something, haskil, haskola. In habina hu koch havona vasoga. The first one is the raw brain power, being able to internalize the information. Bina is the comprehension of it. Heinish mispainim besichul havin davar lashul amko, to contemplate something, to understand it to its depths. Next page. Mitoch eis adavar chachma muschu besichlo, of any item of chachma that has come into your mind. So chachma is bringing the information into your mind. You first have to learn the information, then you got to understand that information deeply. You have to learn about a God. Okay, so what does that mean? What does God mean in the deeper sense? Vachachma vabina shala nefesh aloki shuchelik ulkamim ulal malmish. And the chachma, the bina of the godly soul, which is a portion of God on high, he chachma Hashem ubinaso. That's the chachma of Hashem and the understanding of Hashem. Hainu hasichlis inyan aloki v'izbonus begadlus Hashem shilmal mikol medida v'agbola adein chayk v'yasefer. That's learning about and understanding the greatness of Hashem, which is beyond all measurement. Okay, to think about that. That's what your brains were made for. To think about Hashem, to think deeply about Hashem. What does it really mean that there's a God? What does God really do? To go as far as the mind can go in understanding what Hashem is. Now you've got to study it in books, and then you've got to think about it deeply. So once you have that, now obviously you understand why he said in the last chapter of the book, why Chachmas HaUmos is a dangerous thing. Wisdom of the nations, beyond what's very vital for your parnasa, is very dangerous, because now you're filling your mind with other things than Hashem. Okay, so that's going to make this, the whole process of the takeover of the godly soul to take over the animalistic soul is only if your brains are thinking about Hashem and spiritual concepts, because that's the first cog in the wheel. You'll see how this moves, but this is the first part. You're starting at the top, Chachma, Bina, and Das. So if your Chachma, Bina, and Das are filled with Hashem, or anything that relates to Hashem, then we can begin the process. If you're spending a lot of time with Narishkeiten, even though they're very nice and true Narishkeiten, but you're not thinking about what you should be thinking about, because the next step isn't going to happen. If you go to Gemara class for an hour a day, that's very nice, but you're not thinking about Hashem throughout the day, it's not going to happen. That's the critical point. Continues the Tanya. Now when you have Chachmum Bina, somebody really, really thinking about Hashem. You're thinking deep, deep, deep about what Hashem is and what His Torah is. You're thinking deeply about the Parsha this week, Parsha's Chukas, and what Hashem wants from the Jewish people, etc., etc. I mean, it's part of learning Torah, but deep. What's the real message in the Parsha? So then, if you keep thinking about it, and then you can spawn from that through the third power of Das, which we'll explain, what will come out of that? Hayira b'mocha, a concept of yira in the brain, upachad Hashem b'libo, and a fear of Hashem in the heart. We'll begin to move from the brain and to get into the heart. And we'll see exactly where into the heart. Explains the Chassidus Mavoris. What is the desire of the godly soul? Besides the fact that the brains will be filled with the power of this seichel of Hashem, you want the heart to be enclosed in the character, in the midos, in a way that the heart is filled with those characteristics alone. We start arousing and revealing the characteristics. First, the chachmah, that's not the characteristics, that's the brain power. But now the character, the midos, it comes through the seichel. Like we learned earlier. The midos in the heart come from the chachmah, bina, das of the brains. Christians are very rich as we explained a great deal before. Shachachma Bina shall never shalokis, hein heim ava em shemolidis ava Hashem. The Chachma Bina, if the godly soul, is the mother and father that gives birth to love Hashem. And also to v'yiraso pachto, and fear of Hashem, and the pachad that comes from that. Because when you think about the greatness of Hashem, a person is filled with feelings of love and fear of Hashem. And to make sure that these midos, these qualities, are true, and we're not imagining them, and that they have a life, and they're going to be maintained. You want it to be true, everlasting feelings, true feelings. It's not enough to just engage the Chachma Bina. You also have to activate the Das. And what is that? We've said many times. It's the ability to connect and be attached to the thing that you are able to understand and comprehend intellectually. To live in the world that you have intellectually been able to understand. Das shall never shall okay see, and that what is the das as employed by a godly soul? What does it do? The kasha die to be kasha amitz chazik maod v'yizka be'achshavto v'chazik v'gadlu sein sof baruch hu. It's to tie the person strongly, and his mind's completely set, and always thinking about the greatness of Hashem. For that goes tiena amidos amitos. Then the midos are true. V'yilam kiyum v'chias, and they will last forever. You've got to live in the reality of what your mind has been able to contemplate deeply. That's Das. So once you've got the Das and you're living in that world, then that can impact on your feelings. You're obviously only going to feel towards something based on how you're connected to it. If you're not connected to it, you have no feelings to it at all. They talk about all these this disaster up north with this mall. I mean, how connected am I to cottage country? How connected are we to going? that great a connection. So our feelings aren't that strong. Something happens in Eretz Yisrael. It's much further away than cottage country. Every little thing, I got to know what's going on because I'm connected to it. If you feel connected, then your feelings are totally, totally determined by what you're connected to, because that's what you have feelings towards. It's very obvious. So if you learn about Hashem and you're very scholastically minded, but you don't live in the godly reality, then you're not going to be connected to that godly reality, and you're not going to have feelings to that godly reality. So you have to live in that reality. Then that can happen. Okay? Hamida Rishona, Misara Spotam, my day, Spotam, Vamakas, Adas, Begadlus, and so forth, who, Minas Ayira. The first Mida that gets activated and aroused from this deep thinking is the attribute of Yira. But it's first revealed in the mind. Remember, we're not talking about the yira that you simply think of fear of Hashem that He's going to punish you. It's rather, as we've said many times, yira is what? It's the way from the word ra to see Hashem in your reality, to live in, with the feelings that Hashem is doing everything in your life. You're looking at everything with a godly view of things. You're looking at the godly purpose of everything as you're looking at it. The godly purpose of this table, the godly purpose of the sitter, the camcorder. All the things that are on the table here. What does God want me to do with this? What's God's purpose for this world? And I have feelings to that purpose. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid. I'm very accurately seeing what Hashem wants in this world. That's real year. That's a feeling of feelings to what Hashem wants. You can be married to somebody and you don't care what your spouse wants. I don't care what she wants. You don't have any year. It's not a, I don't care what she wants if I'm afraid she's going to punish me. Do I care what she wants? Do I even see it? Do I even see it on the radar? That's Yiras Hashem, is to see on the radar what Hashem wants in this world and have feelings for that. Have feelings for if this is what Hashem wants, then that's what I want. And that's why I will look. If Hashem wants me to look at this, you know, somebody insults you. Okay, so if you have Chachma, Bina, and Das, then your Yira says, how does Hashem want me to look at this situation? Because I only want to look at the situation with Hashem because I'm very connected to Hashem. How would Hashem look at this situation? What would He want me to do? That's Yira. Hashem, you know, Hashem would want me. Sometimes I have to ask a Chacham, because you may be biased. Hashem wants me to not respond. Hashem wants me to feel sorry for that person. That's what Hashem wants, and I'm connected to what Hashem wants.
Maybe even learn from that.
Whatever. That's what Hashem wants. Sometimes Hashem will want me to do something else. But only can do that when you see the situation for what it is. For what it is, the way God has defined the situation. That's what how Hashem wants me to see this. So when that's Yira. That's the way to connecting to see the world in only one way. The way that Hashem wants me to see it. And what He wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's Yiras Hashem. Right? And that starts in the brain. That's in the brain. The brain has to say to you, this is the situation. Not that. It's not a question of your ego. It's not your ego is upset about this. That's what we're talking about Shabbos afternoon last week, about going to a Simcha. Yiras Hashem of going to a Simcha. What is the Simcha? You have your eyes that think you know what the Simcha is. It's my day. But that's not the way Hashem looks at it. Hashem looks at it totally different. So if I'm connected to Hashem, remember, if you're connected to Hashem in the deepest way and you understand Hashem is controlling all of reality, there's nothing in this world that's happening without Hashem's 100% involvement. So somebody goes and insults you, then you know Hashem clearly was behind that. If you don't have Das, What do you mean? Hashem's involved in my every minute. Like, He's not involved in everything. I'm not connected to that reality. So Chaim Yankel insulted me. My uncle insulted me. Now, all of a sudden, the animalistic soul is in charge. But if you understand, if your das means I live in the reality with Hashem every single moment, I'm living that every second, I keep saying, there's Hashem here, Hashem here. So Hashem is in Chaim Yankel's mouth that insulted me. So that's Yiras Hashem. So now, if Hashem at Chaim Yankel is, it means obviously Hashem wants a certain response. Right? So now I have to know, what does Hashem want me to do? And Hashem wants me to feel a certain way based on that happening. That's Yiras Hashem, which precedes the typical Ava. And then there'll be other levels of Yiras Hashem. Then the other levels of you're really afraid of Hashem. You're afraid of a punishment. That's also there. Okay, but that's not the real Yiras Hashem we're talking about. Right? So therefore, that's the Yira. So it comes in the mind. Then there is a fear and trepidation that comes into the heart. That you don't want to chas v'shalom not live up to that reality. Not that you're afraid he's going to punish you. Hashem is guiding the situation. What does Hashem want? And I have a fear. The fear is, chas v'shalom, I shouldn't do what Hashem wants. Because that would mess up the whole story. Right? Then comes ula'achar hisaris ha'yira. And then, when the yira in the heart comes, gam hisaris ava, then comes the love. That's the order. The midos will be dictated by what's in the brain. Next page, Lamed. Now, he's going to talk about two different, well, we're going to see, what kind of ava? What does this ava do? The avas Hashem, in the first level of avas Hashem, Balatanya says, is ke'esh bora beliba karish peshalevis. It's a fire burning in his heart like fiery coals. Explains the chassidim words. Once the person arouses the midah of yira in the brain and pachad in the heart through his reflection of Hashem and living in that reality, then he arouses love for Hashem. And in love itself, you see, what's the desire of the godly soul? What does the godly soul want in terms of you activating love? He wants to be in a very high level of loving Hashem. A strong, strong love like fiery coals. Continues the Tanya. That his soul should be yearning, should be pining, should go out with great yearning and wantings, to cleave to Hashem with your whole heart and soul very much, from the depths of the heart of the right ventricle. That love is in the right ventricle of the heart. A big, big burning love. Your heart's beating with love. So explains the Chassidus Mefaras. Chavtzer Rishonah Shal Nevi Shal Kish. Who? What does the godly soul want? Shavas Shava Tia B'Tzimon Atzum Dafka Boyisprav Kol Masu V'Atzmusa. That the love should be yearning with all your essence, as the Torah says, B'Chol Levav V'Chol V'Chol Nafsh Chol Mandech. You should love Hashem with all your hearts, with all your soul, with all your wealth. Hainu Ava Kisufim Ad Kolas Nevis. It's a love and a yearning until your soul goes out. This way, that the compartment of the right ventricle is filled with love Hashem to the depths of the heart, completely filled. As he describes in detail now, that the inside, using three expressions, Rotzuf, Mole, and Godush. And let's skip right down to footnote 37. That will get us right into what these words are saying. Three different ways of saying full. He says like this. Tocha ratzuf, the inside is ratzuf. What's the word ratzuf mean? Hulash and ritzvah, from the expression ritzvah. Ritzvah is a floor. Now look at the floor. How much of this room has floor?
All of it.
All of it. The whole house is covered with floor at the bottom. I mean to say, Haina Sha'ava, it says believe, the love is in the heart. And it spreads. Just like the floor spreads on the ground. So it's the room is full with floor, but it's only on the bottom. The top doesn't have floor. But it doesn't fill the whole area of the heart, the whole space of the heart. So there's still room in the heart for something else to go in there. Mole, the second word, mole, full. Now the love fills the entire heart. And no strange love can get in there. As Rebbe will say, as said earlier, mole mehem levadim v'yever zerbesochem. That what it's filled alone with love of Hashem, and nothing strange can get in. The animalistic soul cannot reveal the wantings of the heart in the bad way, meaning for gashmius. And as you can't have them both together, as we said, and we'll say many times. You cannot have both loves in the same compartment. So if it's filled with love for Hashem, there's no room for loving it. If you love Hashem, you have no room to love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs.
How about your
the
wife?
Dogs that kids love to eat. There's no room for that.
How about the love that's important?
The love to your wife is just, you love your wife because God tells you to love her. You don't love your wife because you love your wife. It's not an independent love. It's a love because the ratzon of Hashem, because Hashem told you in the Torah to love your wife. And you love Hashem more than you love your wife. Sorry to tell you. Because your wife only came from Hashem. Why do you love her? If Hashem didn't tell me to, my godly part wouldn't love. The animal part of me might love, but that animal love is destructive. Got to realize the problem in marriage, because people love their spouses from the animalistic soul. And such a love is destructive, because it's really love of yourself and not love of your spouse at all. I love you, dear. No, you don't. Don't say you love her. You mean you love yourself. So that's not real love. You'll never love a person truly. If you have Avas Hashem, Hashem says, this is how you're going to love your wife. I want you to love your wife, but the way I want you to love your wife. And that will get you closer to Hashem. That's a whole different love. But that's not a separate love. That's why there should never be Shalom Bayis problems. You love your wife because Hashem said so. But you love Hashem first. Hashem says, I want you to learn right now. And the wife says, I don't want you to learn right now. You have to ask Hashem, you have to ask Hashem, so what should I do? Hashem says, you're supposed to learn now. So if you love your wife, you're going to do what Hashem wants. And you're going to learn. It's all Shalom Bayis, Mishigas. Shalom Bayis, you throw all of Yiddishkeit out the window because of Shalom Bayis. Because my wife, I can't eat kosher, I can't keep Shabbos. That's not, Hashem never told you that Shalom Bayis. Never. Yeah, if you never were religious, okay, for a little while, but not forever. You love Hashem. Hashem wants to keep Shabbos finished. There's no two ways about it. Okay, he'd like you to bring your wife along. Okay, be a mensch about it. Don't be antagonistic. Live like a mensch, but you look like a mensch. And then your wife's not a mensch. Sorry. Then I guess it's time to find another person to love. You know, it can't be that the wife, you know, you love your wife. If the animalistic part of you loves your wife, then you listen to her to not keep Torah.
I guess it started with Adam listening to Chava rather than Hashem, right? I
mean, whatever.
From the very beginning.
I'm saying you love your wife only because Hashem tells you to love your wife. It says in the Torah. You have to give her joy. Fine. Hashem wants you to be at one with your wife. But only to come close to Hashem. You're only getting married to get close to Hashem, to bring the Shekhinah. Only to the degree that without a wife you can't have the Shekhinah in your life. You can't be close to Hashem without a wife. You know, a man alone is not the Tzelem Elokim. A woman alone is not the Tzelem Elokim. You're not balanced, and you're never going to come close to Hashem unless, you know, with great difficulty. Not never, but it's very, you're making money, you're handicapped. So why are you getting married? Because Hashem told me it's a mitzvah. By definition, marriage, why does marriage have to be a mitzvah? Go ahead and get married, not because God tells them to. Because a goy is one animalistic soul mating with another one, like two porcupines, like two monkeys, just a little bit more brains. That's all. That's all. There's no mitzvah for that. When you get married, chuppah, kedushin, kedusha, because God wants you to be a baser echad, because you're going to bring Hashem into this family, that's a mitzvah, which means that connects you to Hashem. And that love, and Hashem wants you to love that wife, so you'll feel at one with that wife, so you'll be at one with yourself, your deeper self, and then you'll be able to cling to Hashem. So if you have a wife who's telling you to do things that you that shouldn't be doing, then you gotta say, wait a minute, the only reason I'm loving you is to get close to Hashem, and my loving you is keeping me going further and further away from Hashem. That's not good. That's not the right wife. Or the wife just doesn't understand and she has to learn. Right? So that's I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's what it's all about. All the love you have for your children, for everything, is just a way of understanding your love for Hashem. Right? That's clear. So anyway, so that was Molly. That's the second one. We got a little off topic there. And what's Gadush? We're on the next page, on the bottom footnote. Gadush means like overflowing. And it's a double Molly. It's so full, it goes over its banks. Regarding what we have to say, we'll see, he's going to say it out himself, that the love in the right ventricle is so overflowing that it spills into the left ventricle, which is the seat of the animalistic soul. It will turn over the lustful animalistic soul to lust Hashem. That's how strong that love has to be. So powerful, there's no room for anything else in the right ventricle, and it's so much it starts spilling into the left ventricle. Top of the next page, continuing the Chassidus Mubaris. That's the will of the godly soul. That nothing strange should pass into the heart. Your heart should be filled with love of Hashem. Until there's no place in the right ventricle for any animalistic pleasures. And that's when he speaks out the famous Chavas Havavas in footnote 38. He says it's impossible for there to be love of Hashem and love of this world together at the same time. They're like dueling wives. If you have two wives, you can't love both wives at the same time. If the right side is completely filled with Hashem, there's no room for anything there. Even truth of the matter is to love anything even on the left side. If the right side is really full, then there's not even any room for bad things on the left side. That's how far it has to go. That's what he explains now in the Tanya. Exactly those words. Until it penetrates and overflows into the left ventricle. Hayo explains. Since the godly soul wants all the body parts to be filled only with its force of godliness, it's not satisfied that the right side is filled. It wants that love to go all the way to the left side. It's the place where the animalistic soul resides. Klomer, meaning to say, the godly soul is not satisfied that the evil of the animals of soul doesn't spread to the rest of the body. It's not good enough that it's not spreading to the rest of the body. It wants the left side of the heart to become a residence, a domicile of only good. And then, as we've said, it's the left ventricle that pumps blood into the rest of the body. It's pumping that all in. So that's the animalistic soul is pumping. So he wants that to pump in only good. Only good. Right? That's what he's saying. He should pump in only good. And he's going to elaborate on this a lot shortly. But that's what has to happen. It's not good enough, okay, our side's good. My side's perfect. The other side could be what it is. Oh, you're going to have big trouble. You're going to have big trouble. Because then you're going to go back and forth. It's going to be total. It's all or nothing. Total victory. It's got to spread, infiltrate, take over the left side. And that left side that's got the power of taiva. We'll have taiva to get close to Hashem. And that's what makes the rest of the body move. Because that's what gives life. That's what gives vibrancy to Yiddishkeit. If the right side is filled, it's nuts. It's very nice. I really feel very strongly for Hashem. I only think about Hashem. But if it doesn't get to the left side, then you're not going to daven with much excitement. Because there's that pump, that the left side into the rest of the body. Right? And that's the excitement. That's the burning that comes. That infiltrates into every body part. So you gotta get the animalistic side on side. It's gonna do mitzvahs with excitement. That's what it does. It got animalistic soul gets excited, as it should. Get excited to learn Gemara. Get excited to do a mitzvah. Right? And not unenthusiastic Judaism. Right? We're enthusiastic about every mishigas when it comes. You know, the animalistic soul's excited about food, really wildly excited about food, about the European Cup. Very excited about that. Very excited about your stocks and bonds and vacations. Get really excited about it. Then you come to the Gemara. Okay, I got to do it. All right, I got to be a good Jew. Okay, I'll come to class. Okay. It's not the same. You want the Yetzer Hara to want to learn Gemara. That's what you have. That's what it has. That's what we're going to see. That's what it's going to be. Next two words of the Baal HaTanya. So let's see how this happens. What do we do? What do we do when it overflows? La'achbiya, to force l'sitrach to the other side. Explains. Kasher avishal nevesh alokis tispashay gam l'chol asmol shvilev. When the godly soul spreads out and spills over into the left ventricle, it will, in the beginning, not the end, the beginning will accomplish to subdue the other side. That's in the left ventricle. It will begin to subdue it. Subdue it means to stop running around, to turn off the television, to get rid of the computer, to get rid of all that stuff, to subdue it. I'm not interested in these things. I don't want you to be interested in these things. That's step one. It's not the final step at all. But that's the first step. As it penetrates, so what do you care about how much food you're eating? Now, what is this yesod? Next page. What is the elemental source of the left ventricle? Yesod amayim arayim shva, which is the yesod of the bad waters in it. Shehataiva shemiklipas noga. That's the lust that comes from the klipas noga, from that the shell that lights up. The neutral zone that can go up or down. It's taiva. Nevarla will explain way in the beginning of the book. It's just like everything physical is comprised of the four basic physical elements: physical, fire, wind, water, and dirt. So too does the animalistic soul have four bad spiritual elements. Shemayim Boaz called Midas Aros, that all bad Midas come from there. The animalist, the spiritual elements of earth, water, fire, wind spawn all the bad Midas. Hataiva satanugim miyisod amayim. So the taiva of pleasure, we all are wired for animalistic pleasure. Well, let's change that. We're all wired for pleasure. The seed of that, now, that's naturally wired for pleasure, and without any work, naturally wanting to be a behemoth. Naturally, you're a behemoth. Now, we're going to work on that, but naturally a behemoth, naturally wired for pleasure, so naturally wired for behemoth dicka pleasures. Right? That's what's going on. Now, where does that come from? That comes from the yisod of water. Because water develops the growth of all pleasures. A simple analogy, you put water on the grass grows. Now what's the grass? It's physical. Right? Water is the source of life. Physical life. If we would have no water, the world would cease to exist. Get rid of the oceans, lakes, rivers, no rain. Done. If you don't drink water, you're going to die. Eventually.
But it's busy looking for water on other planets,
right,
to see what it's like.
Yeah, and you got more than you need in the core of the Earth. You got more than you need in the core of the Earth. Shikasa. Hashem made a world, you have to go to Mars to get water. Mars, how much is it going to cost to bring water? How much water can you bring already?
Let's see what it's like existing there.
Who cares? Who cares? You have enough over here. Right? Vine. Hanevesh abahami si bal hanov asma husa. The animalistic soul is a master of pleasure in its essence. Hainu, mean to say. The main essence of the animalistic soul is that it likes pleasure. It constantly is drawn strongly to things that give it pleasure. So the main nullification of the animalistic soul is to nullify its desire for pleasure. And that's founded in the water. You saw it on Maya. It's the bad water. Because that bitl etzemahusa, that nullifies its essence. You're born with drives. And you're born as a behema. So you have behema drives. I love food. I love sports. I love this. You've got to subdue it. Forget about it. Not interested. We're not going there anymore. 41. Even though, remember, all the other bad midos that come from the animals and soul, you got the other three elements. It's not just one element, there's four elements. Right? It's not the main essence of the animalistic soul. The main is the water. The other things, you know, add a little color to it. But its main root is the water. The other yesodas, the other elements, it's shaping the mass. The chomer is like mass, the thing, and we shape it. Right? The chomer, the mass, I mean, it's not a good English word for it, that's the essence. The animals of soul will express itself in many different ways based on the other three elements, but it's only always going to be a different expression and manifestation of a drive. Those are the details of the bad minos. But the power to desire, that's the first power of the animalistic soul. So that's the power of pleasure. That's the essence of the animalistic soul. It's a pleasure-seeking being. With different flavors. Therefore, the subduing of the animalistic soul and turning it to good. As we're going to explain later on, as we're going to say, with both of your hearts, so and to change the Yetzirah, tov gomer, to be good, completely good, tov mamish, to be like a Yetzir tov. First, we have to start to nullify the desire for physical pleasures. That's the first starting point. The love of Hashem is so great that this wanting, this yearning for pleasure, where you're starting off with pleasure of physical things, I love Hashem so much, I'm not going to do those things. I will no longer desire these things. And that's not the end, because we've got it, because you've neutralized that left ventricle, but you haven't used it. You haven't activated the way it could be used in a very positive way. But you got to start by neutralizing it. Stop watching television. Stop doing these things. That's the first step. Now, footnote test in the back. End note. Really, a footnote really is the bottom, right? At the foot. And they have end notes, so it'll be more linguistically correct. The end note. Right? Test. It's on page Shin Samach Beis, lower right hand side. Explain this a little deeper. Koach HaTanig, the power of pleasure, kosher matzmus umhus shalom. It depends on the essence of the person. So everybody gets pleasure from different things. Depending on their spiritual place, that's the kind of pleasure that they have in life. When a person takes delight in Hashem, when he intellectually says, you know what I really like? I would like Hashem. That's the proof. When you say, I really, really, a whole day, I've been waiting all day long to go to that Gemara class. I'm waiting the whole week for Shabbos. Right? That's a proof that godliness has penetrated your essence. Ulafikach, next side. Therefore, kasher onam balidei ava betanugim b'emes, which we haven't gotten to yet. When a person gets to the true love of this Hashem, which we didn't get to yet, hainu shekolatanik shelohu achvarak melkos, when his whole pleasure is only from Hashem. Reizu mochiach, that proof shekol ma'usu latzum shel nefesh avami sezach mitusha. That's the proof the animalistic soul's essence now has turned into kedusha. We've reprogrammed it. There's only one kedusha. When you get excited about your Yiddishkeit, that's when the animalistic soul now wants godliness. Right? He's going to say later on, the animalistic soul is neutral. It's neutral. What neutral? Neutral that it wants pleasure. Okay. The essence of this animal soul wants pleasure. It's got to have the pleasure. What kind of pleasure? Depends what's in front of it. Just like an animal. What's in front of it? When you're born, the first pleasures are the physical pleasures. It's going to take 13 years so you can begin to start thinking about spiritual pleasures. So you can begin. You don't have the Yetzer Tov yet. Right? The right ventricle ain't working that great yet. Right? So now, you got, so now what are we going to do? You love a lot of behemothic things. Right? So now, you got to nullify that. First, we've got to nullify it. You don't get that out. There's no room to put anything in. Once you go away, that's why when a bachur, you know, goes away from home and goes to Eretz Yisrael, even when we're home and our parents love you and all these things, and you know, at the end of the day, it's a lot of typhus that come to the house. Right? Good children, good this, good that. There's love and all these things are wonderful. But the great Jews don't develop at home. The great Jews developed in yeshiva where they didn't have much food. Where did the great Gedolim come from? Came from these European yeshivas that they were broke. And he had some, you know, a piece of bread. 48 ways to wisdom. Minimize sleep, minimize pleasure. And all he could do is learn Torah. Now, I'm not saying it's for everybody. Not everybody can do that. But that's how you get filled with Hashem. Eventually, this is why it's hard for parents to realize you got to let go of those kids. Unless you have a very poor home. Then you can keep them. But unfortunately, we have very wealthy homes. So it becomes a great challenge. Okay, so we'll stop at this point. We're in the middle, like we haven't finished the takeover, but we're beginning in the process. All right.